City Council.
That was a quick 5 minutes, Dan.
Well.
Here, if we can do this, this is second reading, right? This is 1151?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
All right, City Council will come back from recess. Carla, can you please read the title for 1151 and call the vote?
Can I? I'm sorry, go ahead and read the title.
Declare surplus properties located at Southwest Beaverton Hillsdale Highway and Southwest Shattuck Road and at 10355 Southwest Barber Boulevard.
And we are going to have, but I want to make a motion first. We're going to have a discussion, but I'd like to move to add the emergency clause.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to add the emergency clause to 1151. Can you please call the vote on the motion to add the emergency clause?
Mm-hmm. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Planning to vote for this, and I would appreciate the opportunity for discussion before the vote on the motion, on the main motion. Aye.
Bish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Commissioner Leonard?
This is the third or fourth time this has been before, so does anybody have any questions? Commissioner Saltzman, go ahead.
Well, my only...
Connie, yeah. I think you're going to be... Commissioner Saltzman would like to ask you some questions as well about the project and the budget.
She's trying to defer it. She's being shy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, last time we had this discussion, it was a good discussion, but I had asked Commissioner Leonard that we could have a Station 21 budget update as part of this discussion.
And I would point out that maybe not even everybody, I know Glenn knows and the chief knows, but maybe Connie doesn't know, but in coming to work this morning, driving over the Hawthorne Bridge, there is a barge in the river with a crane on it, removing the pilings. So good work, Connie, and the team. That's, we have a window that closes October 31st to have that in-water work done, and I cannot express to you the amount of work, coordination, and cooperation from BDS we had to have, which we got was great. Matt in your office was very helpful. Who do we want to call out at BDS?
Procurement.
Procurement?
Yes.
Was, yeah, I mean, we moved at a pace really that was quite remarkable, and as a result, we're going to have the work done in the water in a week, Glenn, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good work.
That's fast.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, I'm on a very fixed timeline, so no, that's fine.
But quick budget update on Station 21.
As you know, it was the GO bond is for $7.9 million. That was for the station alone. The Station 21 construction costs right now are at $5.189 million for the station alone. The soft costs, permitting, consultants, project management are at $2.292 million. Our payment for parks for the actual dock is $288,000. Pilings for the boathouse have come in under initial thought at $205,000. That's already been encumbered. The boathouse is for the double wide that will contain two fireboats is $1,430,000. That includes $300,000 contingency. Temporary structure for relocating our firefighters into a temporary structure that can continue to respond from that location and utilize the fireboat or rescue craft is at $214,000, an estimate. Our cost to BTS and then also for ART is $235,000. And then our contingency on paper is $1,145,000, but then there's that additional $300,000 that's up already built into the boathouse for contingency. So we're just under $1.5 million for contingency funds.
And so what's that all adds up to about 10.7? Is that what you said?
10.9. If you include the contingency, without the contingency, we're at nine and a half.
And you said Station 21 construction is coming in at 5.9, or that's what's incurred so far?
That's what the estimates are right
so that's
now.
That's better than the 7.9 in the GO bond measure.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All
Did
right.
You have anything you want to add, Connie?
No.
Is anyone wish to testify on this matter? Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Thank you. Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for your work on this. And Commissioner Olinow, thank you for delaying this to allow me some additional time to look into it. I continue to believe this is a huge missed opportunity for the city as a whole, although I understand it was purchased with the fire bond money and the money needs to be dedicated to fire bond projects. The Barber site in particular, I think, has huge potential for the future. And just as a general issue, and this isn't connected specifically with this issue, but more a request to the mayor as in charge of the Office of Management and Finance, that when we have surplus properties, the charter specifies that this is a hugely important question and requires that there be a 4/5 majority. So in the process for looking at surplus properties, I would like for all of the bureaus to be required to send an affirmative response or some kind of response rather than if we don't hear from you, we'll assume it's fine. And then secondly, that all the council offices also be copied with requests for declaring properties surplus so that we have a lot more time and don't have to have this again where I'm scrambling to try to look at options for this. You know, obviously the mayor and I have been really focused on the Department of Justice report and figuring out issues related to that for our timeline coming up this week. So I haven't had the amount of capacity to try to work on figuring out a deal for this. So I accept that my time has run out and therefore supported the emergency ordinance so that we do get the money back into the fire bond projects. Aye.
Fish?
I concur in what Commissioner Fritz just said, but it's not specific to fire. It's just how we handle surplus property with an affirmative response from bureaus. In the case of the Portland Housing Bureau, I subsequently learned that, in fact, they did get the notice. They did, in fact, do due diligence on the sites. They did consider a number of options and ultimately decided that they did not have the resources to move forward on either, nor were they in any kind of priority queue. So the system worked, but I think an affirmative response from bureaus just tightens up the protocols. Thank you for all the dialogue we've had over this and the subsequent consultations. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I will support disposing of these surplus properties in deep southwest Portland. I did express some concerns last time about how does this affect response times in that portion of Portland, and was assured that the Station 18 remodel, did I get that number right? Station 18, okay. Mm-hmm. Remodel instead of building a new one, and then the Beaverton Hillsdale site is really not necessary given mutual aid agreements we have with Tualatin Valley Fire District.
Correct.
So that they can be first responders if needed in deep southwest if they're closer.
Okay. Correct.
So based on that, I am supporting this disposal. Aye.
Adams.
Aye.
We have the items.
Do we have some consent items pulled?
We're not done yet.
We have some more, 1152.
Yeah, we have. I'm sorry.
1152.
Amanda, 53. Do you mind if we dispense with the rest of the agenda?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My apologies. 1152.
Do I have my staff here?
1152. Establish city's intent to create a 311 non-emergency call center.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. This is actually, the most significant item on the agenda this week. So, but because of the way that it's my turn to be have my issues last, I appreciate your indulgence with considering this resolution, which is to establish our intent to create a 311 non-emergency call center. And I am very grateful to all of my staff, both in the Bureau of Emergency Communications, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and the Bureau of Technology Services, who are working on this in partnership with Tim Crail and my office. So this is a very simple resolution restating the city's intent to proceed with planning for a 311 system. Not everybody who's watching at home may be familiar with what 311 would be, and it's essentially a three-digit non-emergency number. We do have a non-emergency number now, and we also have the Office of Neighborhood Involvement's wonderful information and referral system, which is 823-4000, and that's a good number for folks to call during business hours to find out how to get city services. But research has shown that people will often dial 911 just because it's simpler than remembering the non-emergency number at midnight on a Saturday evening. And so we get a lot of calls to the Emergency Communications Center that are not true emergencies, and indeed a lot of services that could be provided through a 311 system. The essence of the system is that any city service will be accessed through dialing 311, so that a citizen wouldn't have to call a different number to pay the water bill versus ask a question of a commissioner's office versus enter a pothole patching request. Just all of those things would be accomplished through 311. So it will become a one-stop shopping service for most requests. And as the resolution states, there are already 80 cities throughout the United States that have a 311 system. We're somewhat behind the curve in this common sense improvement to public service. In the 2012-13 budget, $400,000 was allocated within the Bureau of Emergency Communications budget for initial planning for 311 and eventually the hiring, and particularly the hiring of a consultant to prepare an implementation plan for the city. And I'll just stop here and acknowledge that Commissioner Leonard has had this concept for many years before I got into City Hall. It's something that both of us have been itching to do for the 4 years I've been here, and it does require some money for implementation, so we haven't been able to do it as quickly or as we would like to have been able to do. But this work and this resolution builds on the work that Commissioner Leonard had already done. And so the request for proposal is currently posted and closes on October 15th, and the consultant selection will be made within the end of the year. The resolution calls for the creation of a citywide advisory committee made up of city staff and community members. If anybody's watching would like to be involved in that, please contact Tim Crail in my office. And my office will continue to work with the Bureau of Emergency Communications over the coming months to figure out how to make this work the best for everyone. I'm very excited about this project, and I'll turn it over to staff to tell you more about it.
Go ahead. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Laura Wolf from the Bureau of Emergency Communications, and I'll make this a little bit brief. A little background. On average, BOIC receives about 3,000 calls per day, and 30% of those calls we've determined to be non-emergency calls. A non-emergency call system can greatly reduce the 911 burden on our on the present system. A study conducted by the National Institute of Justice in the first year of operating a 311 system, the Baltimore Police Department experienced a 25% reduction in 911 calls. As from the very beginning when we started investigating this, I think when I started, we looked at it with Commissioner Leonard several years ago, there were about 40 311 centers in the country. Now there's about 80, and it's growing continually. What 311 does, it allows the community to reach a non-emergency local government service by dialing one number. The original intent of 311 was for a way to deflect non-emergency calls away from an overburdened 911 system, as well as to improve community relations and support by offering easier access to government services. Centralizing calls to one main system would decrease calls to other government bureaus, which would in turn improve community services. By modeling and adopting best practices from other 311 centers, the City of Portland could potentially position itself to be one of the premier 311 centers in the country. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. My name is John Dett, and I supervise the City of Portland and Multnomah County Information and Referral Program, the 8234000 line. The City of Portland introduced our city information and referral line, 8234000, as a one call to City Hall about 18 years ago. At that time, it was a pretty innovative idea and met with a lot of enthusiasm. However, for a city that prides ourselves on being one of the most tech-savvy cities in America, we have fallen behind the times a bit when it comes to using technology to improve government service delivery and provide better customer service to our community members. As was mentioned, over 70 to 80 U.S. cities have successful operating 311 systems at this time, and some of those began implementing in the late 1990s, so it's been around for quite a while. At Information Referral, we take a lot of pride in our consistently high-level customer service provided by my team. What's often frustrating for us is that while we're able to take the time to ensure we provide excellent customer service and answer 90% of our calls within 25 seconds, the referrals that we give to our callers are often to places where they can't talk to a live person or they have to wait on hold a very long time. Because of budget cuts, especially recently, a lot of frontline services across the city have been cut, and this has required our program to expand the breadth of our services to triage calls and prepare callers for what they will experience when doing business with city departments and other local government entities. The cities and counties that we've contacted regarding their 311 programs all rave about what it's done for their communities. They point out benefits such as we've already mentioned of 911 call relief and emergency response improvements. But what I find excites them the most is how it's been able to improve their service delivery mechanisms and the results they see in customer satisfaction as a result. 311 is just a number. And while it is an easier number to remember than our current 823-4000 number, it's important to point out that this project isn't simply a matter of doing what we're already doing using the 311 number instead of 823-4000. Approximately 90% of the calls that we get at 823-4000 are transferred elsewhere to actually have the callers make their service requests. In talking with other cities that have successfully implemented their programs, they point out that 80-plus percent of their calls have a one-call resolution, so it's a big difference. What this project is really about is coming up with a common customer management system that can be used to look at the way we are currently delivering services across the city and then figuring out how we can do that more efficiently. To what degree we centralize service requests and intake and how we integrate this common system with specialized bureau service delivery systems is what can offer tremendous reward to both the city bureaus and helping them to use their limited resources more efficiently, as well as to community members who need to do business with us. Over the past 6 years, I've also served on our citywide customer service advisory committee, and it's been great to see all the work that the bureaus have done individually to, you know, make customer service improvements by soliciting feedback from their customers, improving staff customer service skills, enhancing their bureau mission statements and strategic plans with a greater customer service emphasis. However, it's also been frustrating for our committee to see the limits that our existing separate service delivery systems do place on how much we can really do to improve the customer experience. This project will look at how a common customer management system and a 311 call center can benefit our entire service delivery system. I know we've done a lot of excellent projects in the city in recent years, and our belief is that if planned and implemented correctly, this will rank as one of the greatest accomplishments for our city.
I have a couple questions, if I could. Thank you for your excellent presentation. First question is, if someone dials 311 thinking they're dialing 211, how will that be addressed?
I know right now we have a very close working relationship with 211, my 823-4000 group, and we transfer calls back and forth.
So if someone was if you determine that the person's calling to find out about shelter capacity or services, you would just route the call to 211?
Yes.
Okay.
And vice versa.
Second question is, from time to time, I've wanted to call the emergency line to complain about a truck that was blocking a road, mm-hmm. and that was also an emergency access road. So it happens like with moving trucks in denser parts of the city where they'll go perpendicular to the building, block the street, and so an ambulance or a fire truck or something would not be able to get through. That's a non-emergency call, so I get lots of other referrals when I call 911 and ultimately leave a message somewhere. Does this allow me to actually speak to someone who would then have a relationship with PBOT so someone would be dispatched?
Ultimately, in its fullest scale model, it would be two numbers to remember, basically, or 211, 311 and 911, one call to City Hall. So you don't have to go through all the different numbers, the iterations of whatever. You can get one place to file a complaint or get information about a service or file something like that.
And with the
ultimate goal,
what are your contemplated hours for this service?
We're going to be hiring a consultant to come on. That's the first phase of this project to take a look at it and do a pretty large scale assessment of the city operations and make recommendations. And it'll be a 3-phase project to get this up and going and make recommendations based on city services and stuff.
You haven't decided whether
cover
the weekend or evenings.
My hope is that it'll be 24/7, 365.
I think
eventually.
Yes. To be effective, I think you
yes.
need the full coverage. And the third question I have is, Commissioner Fritz, you mentioned that this would essentially take some calls out of the system that come to our offices. What's an example that you have
Well, for instance, I get calls that I then say, no, let me transfer you to Commissioner Fisher's office because he's in charge of housing and parks. So people wouldn't be calling, you know, each of our offices to find out which of us is involved, is in charge of things, that they would have one number to call. And some people already call 823-4000 to get that service. There might also be questions that don't need to come to commissioners' offices, that we intervene when necessary, but we shouldn't be the ones who figure out the answer to a complex billing question, for example.
Yeah, and by the way, you just raised, I think, an excellent point. Whenever we get a call that's related to the code, or particularly building stuff, we just give out Mac Run's number. And so one part of your implementation system you may want to consider is identifying the specialists at bureaus and offices who actually are, let's say, for better want of a better term, the expediters. Because there are, in fact, some people that have more institutional memory who are very good at giving you the quick answer. And I'll just say Mac Rum again because he's been a savior for us on some
stuff. In my office.
In Dan Salzman's office.
Yeah, we could save a whole lot of money if we just made Matt Grum 311.
Well, I think that's an important point, is that for many things there should be set answers to set questions, and then for others there are occasionally going to still be the need for commissioners' offices to intervene when there's something that comes up that isn't a standard answer. But just like at the current 911 system, we have protocols that the operators ask to find out who should be dispatched, whether it's an emergency call. Part of the reason that this process isn't just as simple as switching on 311, as John said, is that each of the bureaus need to have set protocols for what the answers are. So it doesn't matter whether you call on a Monday or Tuesday or who happens to be the supervisor. So there is in the resolution a clause that says that the City Council as a whole, city leaderships will support a citywide effort to look at current service delivery efforts and how these efforts could be improved with the implementation of a 311 common customer relationship management system.
By the way, I don't want to put it all on Matt, because when Matt's on vacation, we give out Commissioner Salzman's cell phone, and so there is an opt-out.
So I guess I just had a question. First of all, I want to say 823-4000 does a great job, as does 911, but I'm impressed. So who will be answering 311 calls? Will it be BOAC employees, or will it be city information referral employees?
This resolution sets in motion a discussion of that question. And so there are various different options that we've been considering, including various different locations for where the employees would be physically located, who would be responsible for management, and that's part of what the consultant will help us look at.
As the commissioner in charge, would you anticipate that once you have the consultant, there would be an initial meeting where we would be able to send someone from our offices to sort of help scope the work a little bit and talk about how we handle referrals?
Yes, absolutely. And we encourage each of you to send your staff, to designate a staff person both within your office and also within each of your bureaus.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to reiterate that two things. First of all, if commissioners' offices are getting any calls that are not appropriate for you, you can always send those to 823-4000 instead of Matt Grum. So, but I think
that
key
include fluoride calls.
Sure,
we've been getting some inappropriate calls.
Yeah.
There are a few thousand of them. I wouldn't mind referring.
Yes, we've gotten more than our share of those as well. But
bring those on.
But I think the key, as Commissioner Fritz pointed out, I think, is this is a citywide effort. We need to have all the bureaus. We need to have all the elected officials very much involved throughout the process, because it's going to affect us all. So,
and is there any further questions?
I move the resolution.
So let me just see if anybody wishes to testify on this. Seeing none, okay, let's call the roll on the resolution.
Established cities, Leonard.
So, Laura, do you remember what year 911 was implemented in the city? Or did
in the city of Portland?
Uh-huh.
Oh, goodness. It's going to go back to the...
I'm in the 80s.
It was the late 80s.
Was it that
no,
late?
No. Well, I'm sorry. No, it was late, probably 82,
that's what
81 or 82. It was 81 or 82.
I was hired at the Fire Bureau in 1978. And so when I got hired, if you had a fire in your house, and I know you still have a line out there, is it 221, 2222? So the number that you would call in the city of Portland until 911 was implemented, if you had a fire, was 221-2222. If you had a police problem, you had another number to call. And if you needed medical, you had another number to call. And I remember, believe it or not, when, so it must have been 82, mm-hmm. when the city council decided to do for emergency services what Commissioner Fritz is leading to do now for what in many ways is analogous to mm-hmm. transferring to 911, the pushback from, believe it or not, the police bureau, the fire, what I especially remember is the fire bureau, and the ambulance companies. And I just remember being a young firefighter thinking, there is something here I don't understand. Why is the chief so upset about going to a 911 system? I just felt like, well, it's just one of those reasons I'm down here in the front and he's up on top. I just don't have all the information. But you know what? I really, it was probably beneficial because I wasn't caught up in this whole bureaucratic way of thinking of a way to do business. And I think my instinct was correct. The 911 system, absolutely. I mean, who would now think and argue credibly that in a panic you should remember 221-2222, which is exactly what we had little stickers on people's yeah. phones. We had them on doors. It's just incredible. So this for me, this effort has always been when I had BOEC, and I'm really thrilled to see this, Commissioner Fritz bring this forward now, is really just as John said, it maybe not of the importance in terms of life and death, but certainly in terms of satisfaction of the citizens of the city of Portland. This is a no-brainer to them as it was to a very young firefighter back in 1981. And I only raise that because I ran into some of that opposition. And Laura, you recall well, yeah. And I'm sure, Mr. Dett, you remember that as well. There are, believe it or not, the same kinds of reasons people have in bureaus throughout the city not to go to a 311 system as there was mm-hmm. to even go to a 911 system. So you can imagine there'll be even a little bit more digging in. So that's my way of forewarning Commissioner Fritz and the next council to absolutely listen to concerns that are legitimate. But this is a system to accommodate the citizens, not the bureaucracy. This is a system to make it easier for citizens to make a call to get services, not a system to make it the same or easy for those of us that work for the city. And hopefully in the middle of this debate that you have in the next year or two, you can hearken back to the memory that I had and remember that even the fire chiefs and the police chiefs didn't understand the reason behind a simple number that they didn't understand people needed because they had their number that worked for many years, and they thought, well, I predict that will even be kind of a more vociferous pushback on the part of the bureaucracy on a 311 system, which makes as much sense to me sitting here as a 911 system back in 1981. So I really appreciate Commissioner Fritz bringing this forward. I was disappointed I couldn't follow through with my own effort, and it's very heartening to me to see this this next step. Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Linder, for your leadership in setting this in motion and indeed for your partnership on the work that we've done at the 911 Center over the last 4 years, implementing the new computer-aided dispatch system, our new 911 computer. It's not a coincidence, I think, that you as a former firefighter and myself as a retired nurse understand the imperative nature of making sure that we get services to citizens as quickly as possible. And indeed, that carries over to my community background as a community organizer and a neighborhood activist, understanding that people don't have a lot of time to hop around different numbers, different offices to find out the answers to simple or complex questions. So I appreciate your guidance and partnership on this. I tell Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Fish right now that I will be asking the next mayor to assign me the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and the Bureau of Emergency Communications again next year so that I can continue working on this. It's an honor to work with the employees, both in the 823-4000 number and at the 911 and non-emergency numbers. And everybody, through these tough times with budget cuts and such, and with extremely incendiary issues like fluoride, we have employees who do a great job of answering the phone courteously, getting the answers to folks under the current system, and that includes in all of the bureaus. I'm so impressed with city staff who really do take the responsibility of public service to heart and give above and beyond the call of duty. And thank you to both of you for your work on this project. I also appreciate Amalia Alaconda-Morris and Lisa Turley, the directors of ONI and BOIC, for their leadership on this and their willingness to work together to figure out how are we going to make it work. We also have run this by the Technology Oversight Committee. They haven't looked in depth at it yet, but that is my intent ongoing. Part of the reason that the 911 computer implementation was so successful is that we had technical advisory committees as well as a citizen oversight committee, and then two commissioners making sure that we were dogging that every step of the way in partnership with the mayor and the rest of the council. And this is something that the whole council will be involved in, just like the Office of Equity and Human Rights. It's not something that will be allocated to just my bureaus to figure out how this is going to work. Clearly, we will need input from all of the bureaus in how customer service in a centralized number will be efficient and will still be responsive, as so many different bureaus are today. So thank you so much for all of your work, and thank you, colleagues, for your support. I look forward to guiding this moving forward. Aye.
Fish?
Thank you for your outstanding presentation. And Randy, thanks for putting it in the historical context. And Amanda, thank you for leading this effort. And I look forward to working with you in the next council and the consultants to shape this plan and to make it work. And I, to the point that was earlier made about our success is based on the people we serve and making sure that the customer experience is positive. We'll have the documentary film that was made about 211 should come out in the spring. And I understand they've got, they're going to be showing it on HBO. And the beauty of that film, which is called American Winter, is they chose 8 families that were calling one of our, a number that we contract with. And then the filmmakers went and interviewed them, and these are people that had their electricity turned off, their water turned off, were facing foreclosure, were shelterless or whatever. And the human stories are just incredible. And I think that the reminder that what the reason we're really doing this is to provide a better service to someone in need is incredibly important. And I'm very pleased that Amanda is leading this effort now, and you'll have my full support in the years to come. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate both Commissioner Leonard and Commissioner Fritz's work on this 311 system. I do hope that at some point, just like our 823-4000 number, it is a city-county information referral. So I hope there are some conversations about 311 becoming a city-county non-emergency number, too. But again, my kudos to 823-4000. Great job. 911, always great job. Please to vote aye.
President Salzman, may I just comment on that, even though it's after the, you're about to gavel us out, but yes, the intent, we have already had some discussions with the county about making it.
Okay.
And also, I wanted to call out in particular, there's 7 individuals whose names I forgot to read.
Okay.
And this seems like something that would be simple to do, but it's certainly not. So I thank, as well as Lisa Turley, Laura, and Laura Wolf, Nora Beach from the Emergency Communications Bureau, Mindy Fertile and Beth Fox in Technology Services, and John Dutt and Tim Crail in my office. Thank you all very, very much.
Okay, the resolution passes. And 1153.
And we have some pulled items also.
Yeah, we have some pulled items.
Okay. 1153, amend various sections of the Public Works Improvement Code and Plumbing Regulations to implement the new policies related to the city's non-conforming sewer conversion program.
And I would move to set that over a week.
Yes. No objection?
Okay, no objection. Okay, move to our consent agenda items that were removed from consent.
First one I have is 1136, yes. Authorize a grant with Outside in an amount not to exceed $65,000 to operate the Injection Drug Users Health Services Program.
Okay, second reading, vote only. Please call the roll.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. Okay, 1136 passes. What was the next item?
1137.
1137?
Set a hearing date, 9:30 a.m. Wednesday, November 14th, 2012, to vacate a portion of Southwest Moody Drive north of Ross Island Bridge. The Bureau has requested this to be referred back to the mayor's office for additional survey work.
Okay. Without objection, that will happen.
We just a question. Do we normally have a ordinance to set a hearing date?
Yeah. That's news to me.
What's that about?
No, we do. They're just always on consent.
To set the hearing date is on consent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for vacations.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the next item that was pulled?
1143. Authorize intergovernmental agreement between Portland Housing Bureau and Multnomah County Health Department Environmental Health Services Department to support healthy homes activities.
This matter is a combination of HUD grants and CDBG. REACH was selected through a competitive process, and the gentleman that pulled it subsequently received the information that he sought from my office, and so I suggest we proceed to a vote.
Okay. I see nobody here to testify, so please call the roll on 1143.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. Okay, 1143 has passed. 1144.
Authorize a subrecipient contract with REACH Community Development for $583,146 to provide for Healthy Homes Programs remediation.
This falls under the same category, and when we talk about healthy homes, we're talking about conditions in homes that cause or aggravate medical conditions, and the funding will be used to make the necessary home repairs so that families and individuals have a healthy environment.
Great. I see nobody here to testify, so please call the roll.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. 1144 has passed.
Carla, I had 1139 and 1140 also.
1139 and 40, the mayor continued those.
Okay. So we're not voting. Okay.
Yeah, we took care of those this morning. But we also had 1138 that was pulled. I missed the number.
1138?
Yes.
Okay.
Authorize two ground lease agreements with the Portland Development Commission for construction staging related to the Foster Woodstock Streetscape project.
Okay, I see nobody here to testify, so please call the roll.
Okay. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. 1138 has passed. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay, so we stand and adjourn till 2 p.m.